During a half term, Sam and I had the privilege of going on the 1st of June to the Oval to see a Champions Trophy match. It was 27 degrees. It was so hot, although we thought we'd covered everything, I managed to get sunburnt on the inside of my right knee. Tuesday this week, I was walking the dog in the early morning in the rain. It was 11 degrees. Felt like we'd skipped over summer into autumn. It reminded me as I was walking and praying of verse 2. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And it felt we're out of season at the moment to me. Now Paul was writing to Timothy in a situation where things were really not going well at all. He was still a young leader. When he'd first met Paul, he was 18 or 19. Now he's 33, 34. He's holding really significant authority for Paul. He's stewarding the whole church in Ephesus. And Paul is insisting that, Timothy, you've got to keep doing the right thing. Even if it isn't being fruitful right now, you've got to keep doing the right thing. It's an odd time at the moment. The Chinese have a curse. May you live in interesting times. I remember saying to our kids before the referendum result last year, this will either have been utterly pointless or it will be complete chaos. I remember saying to them, it's never good when politics becomes interesting. There's lots of anxiety about now and about the future. We've had a weird campaign. Strong and stable that's felt anything but. A campaign that promised jam for everybody, other parties simply disappearing, and to very many of us, a really unappetizing choice. We've had a weird result. Brexit negotiations begin a week on Monday. Probably. If there isn't a leadership election first, suddenly we're playing deal or no deal, not with Noel Edmonds, but with Arlene Phillips. Who, by the way, is the leader of the DUP, if you didn't know that. You probably didn't 3 days ago, but probably you do now. And there's a fear that we may be doing all this all over again very soon. We're living in a time with a huge number of unknowns. There's loads of uncertainty. Do you remember Donald Rumsfeld who said, there are known knowns, things that we know that we know. There are unknown knowns, things that we don't know, that we know that we don't know that we know. There are known unknowns, things we know that we don't know, and there are also unknown unknowns, things that we don't know that we don't know. And that came to mind when I think of Donald Trump in the White House, the most unpredictable president in living memory. Loads and loads of known and unknown unknowns. And I know enough maths to know that you can't resolve any equation with too many variables. That's what life feels like for so many of us in the moment. And so much uncertainty is corrosive. We've had 3 terror attacks in 7 weeks. 2 very low tech. How do we stop people hiring vans and having kitchen knives? And the other ultra sophisticated and chilling. Targeting very young people. It's becoming normalized. Yet we're living in a heightened state of anxiety. And there's no end in sight. How do you negotiate with an enemy who has nothing? You have nothing that they want. I'm sure many of us watched the concert last Sunday evening. Ariana Grande singing incredibly. I frankly got to confess I'd never heard of her. But incredibly singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Beautifully sung, and yet no hope, just wishing for a different world. Why, oh, why can't I? There's anxiety within the church in our nation about its future, earnest seeking for new and fruitful ways, in a culture that has, as Paul predicted here, stopped listening, or will listen only to that which it wants to hear. It does feel we're out of season at the moment. So how do we live for God in the midst of all of this? First thing is we have to remember our hope. Remember our hope. Verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who would judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Paul's saying, what I'm asking you to do, Timothy, makes sense because of our hope. Our hope in the living, risen Jesus Christ, who has conquered death. It's not just hope for our future. It's not just hope for heaven. It's a hope for a much greater reality than the one that feels like we're surrounded by at the moment. The reality that feels like it's closing over our heads. It's hope for God's presence and God's hand in and through our circumstances. And it's also, let me remind you, hope for a perfect justice. A justice that cannot be avoided. Even if you do something atrocious and kill yourself, you cannot avoid God's justice. In the middle of all that you face, Paul is saying, remember your hope and view everything you face through that lens. We need to be people who are defined by hope. Defined by hope because there's always sufficient reason to sustain our hope. Psalm 121 says, lift your eyes to the hills, from whence comes our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Paul says in Romans 8:38 to 39, he says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life. Why? Because heaven is coming. Neither angels or demons, so no spiritual beings can get in the way. Neither the present nor the future, so no political or military events either now or in the future. Nor any powers, whether they be evil or demonic or earthly. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. So basically, just nothing at all. Nothing at all will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to be defined by hope. By hope, not circumstance. By hope, not fear. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Not rejoice because our circumstances are difficult, but rejoice because we are in the Lord. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Sorry, Steve. Because we are in the Lord. There's always sufficient reason to rejoice, whatever the circumstances, because we know his presence and his hand in and through them. So ask for his presence. Seek it. Keep knocking until it comes. If you're in need of consolation, ask the Father of compassion and the God of comfort to comfort you. If you're seeking peace, Jesus said he would give us peace that the world cannot give. The world cannot understand. Sorry, Steve. If we're seeking love, Paul says that God pours out his spirit into our hearts, and that's how love comes into our lives. If we're seeking joy, it can be found in Jesus, whatever the circumstances. And a time like this is really time to drill down in prayer. There's a phrase, I think it comes from Tolkien, that talks about the fact that deep roots are not touched by the frost. It's not a time to be just paddling in prayer, swimming the surface, but to be diving deep, to be pearl diving, if you like. Arrow prayers have much more purpose and weight when they come out of a deeper walk of prayer. I always find it much easier to pray in a crisis when I know I'm walking closely with the Lord. We have to remember our hope. Remember our hope and not to be daunted by the times in which we live. We need to be defined by our hope in Jesus, not circumstance. Defined by our hope, not by fear. And second, we have to keep our character. Verse 5, Paul says, keep your head in all situations. Don't lose your bearings. Don't get knocked off course. Don't get too pumped by good news. Don't allow yourself to be crushed by bad. Philippians 4:6 says, the significance of thanksgiving and prayer in prayer. We need to feed ourselves on what God has done rather than obsessively focus on what he hasn't done yet. If we feed ourselves on what God has done in thanksgiving and prayer, then we've got faith, greater faith to seek him, to step into praying for what he hasn't done yet. Just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And remember that seeking is an invitation from God. An invitation to pilgrimage, to journey, to searching after him and finding him. Verse 5, endure hardship, Paul writes. Endure hardship because it is part of life. It is part of service. It's part of ministry. Don't be surprised by it when it comes. Don't allow yourself to get offended at it. It's often what grows us the most. When we embrace it and endure it and seek God through it, it's what grows us the most. And in times like that, Ephesians 6 reminds us the requirement is to stand our ground. No more than that. To stand our ground. We have to keep our character. Our character matters as Christians. It matters to the Lord and to those around us. As Christians, wherever you go, you get watched closely if you are identified as a Christian. They need to see the difference our hope gives to us. That's being salt and light. So remember our hope, keep our character, and we have to keep following Jesus. We can't stop being a disciple, a learner, a follower. Often struck by Peter walking on the water. I think he loses sight of Jesus because of the waves. I think Jesus is coming towards him. The waves come. He's got his eyes fixed on Jesus, and then the waves block Jesus out. That's when he starts to sink. We may lose sight of him for a moment, but we have to keep looking for him. We have to keep following him. And that means following him, particularly in the way that we serve. Verse 2, proclaim the word. Yes, often through preaching, but also in our actions, our attitudes, our relationships. We could say, proclaim the word. That's a better translation. St. Francis is supposed to have said, preach the word and use words when necessary. Verse 2, with great patience and careful instruction. It's worth it even out of season. Dealing with the out of season times forges character for when the times of favour come. It's when we are faithful and fruitful with little that we then get trusted with much, Jesus says in Luke 19:17. We prove our character through being faithful in the difficult times. And we go back to hope. Our hope gives meaning to our struggles to live for Jesus. Reminds us that there's a bigger picture beyond what we can see. Reminds us to lift our eyes to the heavens from whence comes our help. Our hope gives meaning to our struggles or our duties, whatever the weather, whatever the lack of fruit out of season, whatever the circumstances around us, our hope gives meaning to our struggle to live for Jesus. So Paul says, it doesn't matter what the season is. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, verse 5. Do the work of an evangelist. Whatever you're called to do, do it, even when things are difficult, even when we're in a time of chaos and confusion. Because they prepare us, I think, for the seasons of fruitfulness that will come. Our faithfulness in times of unfruitfulness grow our character and prepare us to respond when favour comes. It is a difficult time at the moment in our land. It's one of the most confusing and worrying that I know I've known as an adult. But I'm sure there are others who've known much more challenging times than these. We're not living through the blitz. They're difficult times. But the people of God have known God to be faithful in much more difficult times than these. And the challenge to us is to remember our hope. Romans 8 again, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, because heaven is coming, neither angels nor demons, so no spiritual beings can get in the way, neither the present nor the future, so no political or military events, current or in the future, nor any powers, whether they be evil or demonic or whatever they are, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, so basically just nothing at all, nothing at all, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to view the present through the lens of our hope. The challenge is to keep our character, to keep our head in all situations, to endure hardship and being grown in and through it. That's to be salt and light for those around us. They need to see the difference that Jesus makes to our lives. And the challenge is to keep following Jesus and to keep serving, knowing that favor will come. What people around us need to see at this time is that we are full of hope. They need to see our Christ-like character, or a character that is growing into that. They need to see our peace and joy in serving. It's time to lift our heads to the mountains, from whence comes our help. It's time to focus on the Lord. It's time to view everything through the lens of our hope. We need to be defined by hope, not circumstance. We need to keep our character. We need to seek to grow in the Lord Jesus. It's time to keep following Jesus as closely as we can. Or it's time to start following Jesus for the very first time. Those amazingly emotive words, why can't I? Why can't I, from the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Well, you can't on your own. But this whole service is about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's about him being crucified and risen. It's about him being present in power by the Holy Spirit. It's about his hope filling us so that we can live for him. If you don't share this hope, you can. You can come to that place of sharing the hope we have in Jesus Christ. My aunt used to say, it must be wonderful to have faith. It must be wonderful to have faith. None of us are superhuman. We've come to trust Jesus. We've come to find that he is faithful. You can make that journey. You can make that choice too. Just a matter of saying sorry, thank you, and please. Sorry for how we've lived. Thank you for what you've done. Please come into my life and be with me forever. The gospel is really as simple as sorry, thank you, and please. And all the gospel means is the good news that you can receive in this time of very bad news, but the good news that changes eternity. If you want to know more about that, come and see me afterwards, please. But it is time to remember our hope, to be defined by hope, not circumstance. It's time to keep our character. That's how we are salt and light in the world around us. And it's time to keep following Jesus as closely as we can. Thank you for listening. Amen.